Tom and Leah are the Watchers.
Bow, bow, bow. Chicka, chicka.
Let's work as a team.
Bow, bow.
What? I want to do that, man.
Do, bow, bow.
What's the name of those dudes?
Ooh, Yellow.
Oh, it was two. Who sang Walk the Dinosaur?
Open the door, get on the floor, Tin Lids.
Nope. No. Originally. The original version.
Tin Lids is Jimmy Barnes'
kids. Yep.
Yeah, all 14 of them.
I can't remember who sang it originally.
Was not was.
There you go.
I wish you'd just tell us.
Was not was.
Why do you keep saying that?
No, it was.
It wasn't was. Was was too busy inventing Mac programming systems.
He was too.
But yeah, no, it was, but it was not was.
I don't have time for this because it's episode 4 of We Are The Watchers.
Woo-hoo!
We are back and a little bit tired too, I must say.
I went to a Hootie and the Blowfish concert.
Just then?
Yep.
That was fast.
Did you let her cry?
I only want to be with you.
Let the tears fall down like rain?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's the best way to do it.
Counting Crows were there.
Oh. Where were they?
In 1996.
Oh, right. I thought you said they were around here.
No. Okay.
I always think of Tiger Woods when I think of Hootie and the Blowfish because they had a whole video where they were on the golf course.
Slipping around.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. We don't have time for this. We've got so much to talk about. What's going on?
We've got other shit to get off track about.
Now, Ash, we do need to sort of give people a warning. Halfway through this episode...
Spoiler alert!
There'll be a spoiler alert, and the second half will be about Star Wars.
Oh, my.
Yes. We went and saw the War of Stars.
We saw The Last Jedi.
We did.
The Last Jedi, as your phone wanted to be it to be. We did. So if you haven't watched it yet.
We'll let you know in advance when to hit pause.
When we're preparing to talk about it.
It'll be super obvious.
You'll have notice.
Become a watcher on Facebook. Facebook.com/WeAreTheWatchers.
Guess what, Ash? I finished Stranger Things season 2.
How strange is it?
I loved that last episode. And in fact, the last two episodes felt like they were a 1980s movie. They get the whole tone.
Yeah, and the detail. One thing I noticed was there's the old board games,
which were
a staple of the 80s. There was Boggle, there's Monopoly. Like, Boggle. Who remembers fucking Boggle, man? That was Boggle. The best.
Mousetrap?
There was no Mousetrap.
That'll be season 3, I reckon.
Okay. Yeah.
But even down to there was a school concert. I'm not giving anything away except for the fact that there was one. All the extras, the kids, were dancing like 1980s kids.
Cool.
Where back in the day, if you had an extra, you know, I don't know, Pretty in Pink or something, dance, they'd be doing the 80s dance because that's all they know. But all these kids would have had to have been taught how to do the 1980s dance. It was really good. Really thoroughly enjoyed it. Can't believe I've got a year to wait.
That's the hardest thing about this.
Isn't it 2 years?
What? Why, Tom? Why is that a thing?
Well, don't they only, they do a season every 2 years, don't they?
No, we only had to wait a year.
Oh, okay.
Oh, a year and a half, actually.
I heard 2019, but maybe earlier half of 19.
I hope not. Lots of fun, really good fun. And that episode that you were talking about, I think it was last week, where the 11 episode and people online were saying it felt different. It had to feel different. I thought it was an episode we needed because, like it was alluded to, it's the episode that tells you where the whole show's going.
Sure.
Was this the episode where 11 goes out of town?
She went on a road trip.
A little bit of makeup.
Yeah. That's right. We needed to see that so that we know what else there is in the world apart from this town.
Yeah, it sort of expanded the universe a bit. Which
I'm really
was nice
glad.
Because they haven't really taken us out of town yet. That was, I enjoyed that episode. I enjoyed the series to date. It is brill.
I know Tom's going to enjoy it when he gets around to it, maybe in January. We'll see how you go.
We'll see how I go.
But you were busy on the weekend watching a movie, actually, that you were anticipating.
Oh, it's a new show.
It's
a show called Happy with an exclamation mark. So it's more called Happy.
Happy.
It's awesome. I'll summarize it very quickly. It's based on a comic book by Grant Morrison, who's known for writing some really trippy shit. And it's about a disgraced former hero cop who's now a hitman and is basically trying to commit suicide via a hit going wrong. He's involved in one of these and gets shot. And as he's being raced to the hospital and plied with all sorts of drugs trying to keep him alive, he starts seeing a tiny blue floating unicorn that can talk.
As you do.
And it's voiced by Patton Oswalt, who you might know as the voice of the rat in Ratatouille.
Does all quite right. a few stand-up shows as well.
He's
on Netflix.
He's a very, very funny guy. And yes, this blue creature called Happy, the unicorn, is the imaginary friend of a little girl that's been kidnapped by a crack-smoking mall Santa.
So, and we all know one of those.
Exactly. So she's trapped in a box with some air holes, and she's basically told Happy, go and find that hero cop we saw on television. And this guy is tripping out on lewds and all sorts of painkillers and stuff and sees this unicorn tell him he needs to save the day, so he just takes that as a license to start killing everyone.
I love it.
It's basically kind of like a Christmassy Die Hard via Tarantino.
Wow.
And it stars Christopher Maloney, who you might know from SVU, where he played a very heavy detective that was on the verge of raging out and killing indiscriminately. So it's almost like a continuation of what his character would be if he'd given into that darkness. It's really cool. I believe it's 8 episodes. It looks like it's going to go to some fucking dark places.
It sounds like it will. If a unicorn's telling you to do that sort of stuff, that's not a good start.
He's getting tortured by a guy that's going to cut his penis off in slivers.
Why is there so much talk about male genitalia being lost in the last episodes we've been doing of The Watchers, and then The Oz Walking Dead, we were talking about it too.
It's a popular subject.
I guess so.
It's something that us men fear most.
It is. But yeah, Happy's one episode in. It's a really good time to jump on board because I think it's going to be a pretty buzzed about show.
Because you catch it from the beginning.
Yeah.
Nice.
Fantastic. We're doing sort of an email a little earlier on.
Yeah, I saw that email came in, and that was a good question because we were going to talk about Wentworth last week, and then we were so distracted talking about other great stuff, we didn't get to it. So tell us about Wentworth.
And right. Thank you for holding Leah to account too, because she's just all over the bloody shop.
I used to do this all the time when I used to be on air on radio. I used to say, coming up next, we'll be talking about Wentworth.
And it just doesn't happen.
Yeah, and then the song comes on and you think about something else, and then by the time that 3.5 minute song's done, I forgot.
Yeah, but so it just keeps people listening.
Exactly.
Forward selling.
So thank you, David, for holding me accountable. But Wentworth, yeah, so I sort of, I didn't binge watch. I watched it over the course of a couple of months because there's quite a few seasons.
Sure.
And the first season, I wasn't that big a fan of. But once The Freak, if you remember The Freak from Prisoner, Joan Ferguson, she was the evil guard. Once she came in as the governor in season 2 of Wentworth. It just got good. She is one of the best, worst characters I think I've ever seen. She is not just evil. She's like second level, the things that she will do. And she's not right in the head. And it's just so good because of her. And there'll be little things that are mentioned. For example, season 2, they'll mention something. Season 4, it's referred back to and becomes a large aspect of the storyline. You're like, wow, I remember them saying, just mentioning that. Really good. And super cool that it's Aussie too. And I know that a lot of people overseas watch it. It's on Netflix in the US, so it's got quite a following there. The UK love it. Yeah, it's won awards. It is actually worth it. If you can, like I said, I wasn't a big fan of season 1, but if you can get through that, because you'll need it for little parts that they're going to follow on through, it's worth it.
Do you remember the original Prisoner?
I watched bits and pieces when it was on Foxtel a few years ago. Yeah. I'd never seen it before. I knew of it.
Yeah, but you'd never watched the actual original.
Never watched it.
It was one of those shows I used to sneak up with as a kid with my big sister. Would sit up and would sneak out of bed and would go and watch.
It wasn't naughty. It was just bad.
You shouldn't have been watching it at a very young age.
So this
but
is,
there's nothing wrong with me.
This
I've
is
turned
Australian
out
Prisoner?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so this was back in the day when we had
B. Smith. She's in it.
And there was...
She's the main character.
There was Doreen.
Doreen's in it.
Lizzie Birdsworth.
Yep. They're all different in this,
all,
though.
Well,
but
so,
they're all in
think,
there. They've even got Frankie as well. Yeah, Frankie's a very big character in Wentworth. But they're all the characters from the show originally. It's good. They just do a new take on it. I would recommend.
Jump on it.
Yeah, for sure.
Women in prison. Great topic.
See, something for you. Actually, one more little thing about it is I think Wentworth started before Orange is the New Black. And as I watched Orange is the New Black before I watched Wentworth, and there were tiny little bits in there. I thought, oh, they picked up their storyline, twisted a bit so that they can't.
Oh, similarities.
Yeah, really? I definitely saw similarities, which is cool. It's good that they're watching it.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
Tom, you were talking about Psych last week.
Yep. So, yeah, we brought everyone up to speed on Psych last week, and the movie hit last weekend, and it was amazing.
Really good fun?
It was like putting on a pair of comfortable socks. filled with cameos of characters that had popped up throughout the seasons, perfect, dropping in just for little bits.
That's what you want. What,
the socks?
Yeah.
They were all wearing socks.
Straight out of the dryer.
Just every catchphrase from the show you'd want worked in somehow, little sing-song bits. Just everyone got to play out their characters. One of the main characters on the show had a stroke when they were about to start filming, and they include him in a very subtle way on a phone call, giving some fatherly advice.
That's good.
And it was lit, so you weren't focused on what has happened with the poor guy. He is making a recovery, but it was a everything about it felt very respectful.
Yeah.
And they've said that their intention is to start doing this as a seasonal thing because the company, I believe they're on the USA network or something like that. It made financial sense for them to make it because they've now got a Christmas movie they can show each year.
Nice. Because I was about to ask, it did the movie feel like there'd be more to come?
Yeah. Well, it set up. So the main story, the main character, Sean, the story arc that had kind of been left up in the air of the finale of the proper show, that got addressed. Mm-hmm. But it introduced a new storyline for his best friend, Gus, that looks like it'll get continued in the next one. And they're already saying that they'd love to do an Easter one or a Halloween one, whatever holiday the network
like specials.
Wants.
I like specials like that. You've actually just reminded me that French and Saunders are doing a special.
I heard.
They're not calling it a Christmas special. They're calling it them celebrating 300 years of French and Saunders. They'll show different clips, old school clips, and a few new ones as well, which I'm really looking forward to. They've got Gogglebox over there. I think that's where it originated from. So they'll be doing a bit of a takeoff of that. I cannot wait for it to come here because I love French and Saunders.
We know.
It was the best.
Big fan.
They are the best ever. So I'm really excited that they have decided to get back because it's been years.
And look, that'll be awesome.
It'll be hilarious.
They've got that chemistry no matter what.
No matter what. Yeah.
I got some devastating Christmas news.
Oh, no, what?
My favourite Christmas tradition is watching, there's a guy named Charlie Brooker who's the writer and producer of Black Mirror. And for many years he's been doing a series called Screen Wipe. And each Christmas he puts together a compilation of what happened in the year, hour-long program. And it's basically a very smart, cynical man melting in front of your eyes with rage at what's happened in the world. And this year he said, it's too fucking hard. I can't.
Because it's too bad.
Yeah, he said, you can't parody what's gone on this year because it's just not funny.
Was he alluding to anything in particular? Because this is starting to sound political.
Oh, it's very political. Yeah, it's a very political show.
Okay.
It's a show for intellectuals. And it's
intellectuals.
I don't know. I haven't seen too many smart people in Parliament, dude.
That's because they're in media making fun of them.
Nice. Good one, Tom. That's good.
Political satirist, you need to understand politics in order to make fun of the idiots doing it.
So this guy's obviously quite upset about...
Oh, look, it's a combination of things of running out of time. The other probably bigger factor is that season 4 of Black Mirror drops here in Australia December 29th.
Ooh, just in that little break. That'll be good.
I think in an episode soon we should talk about binge-watching suggestions for January and I'll dive into Black Mirror.
Absolutely. Great idea, Tom. We'll definitely get into that. I'm looking forward to finding out what Ash's binge-watching shows are going to be. Don't say now.
Okay. Tiny House, Big Dreams.
Do you remember a couple of weeks ago?
You'd watch Rex Owner's Greatest Athlete. You'd be into a bit of that.
Come on, man. Look,
it's a knockout?
Oh, it's a knockout. I was just about to say, the closest I'll go to that is it's a knockout.
But should we?
The original with Jackie McDonald, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I have a question for listeners. I happen to know someone who's got an
I think it's only Leah's mum, man, so it's not plural. It's just listening.
My brother listens too.
Oh.
I happen to know someone on the inside of... Australian Ninja Warrior.
Oh, so do I. Yeah, go on.
Should we cover it?
For sure.
And we'll go along.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome. Card.
So well, while you're sitting here and you're...
Beat the wall.
Divulging information. And there is something that I need to talk about as well. Oh. But let's move ahead with...
Let's talk about what your thing is.
No.
Ninja Warrior. Let's do it. Done.
I just want to know that I'm in a safe space that I can actually say this.
Probably not.
We can... I don't want to be judged.
This is a judge-free-ish zone.
It is. It's a safe place.
You've been watching Housewives of Melbourne.
You guys are okay. I can talk about anything here and you're going to be okay. You're not going to laugh.
It's fine.
I was up late the other night and a promo for I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here came on TV. And I got a little bit excited.
What for?
Kind of like it.
Who's on it that you
care? I don't know.
Is the Australian one or the UK one?
It's the Australian one.
Does it matter what famous person it is?
No, it doesn't. I just like the whole concept.
You just watch it.
Of D-grade celebrities squirming.
Yeah.
Love it. I was excited. I don't know who's on it yet, but I thought the last season was great. Are you guys a fan?
I've watched bits and pieces. I haven't watched a lot.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
But...
Don't judge.
I'm not judging.
Look, I'm not gonna
anyone
judge.
Can enjoy whatever they like, and I'm cool with that. It's not something I will ever watch because it holds no interest for me.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're into it, that's cool.
Okay. Ash, it's okay because I need to be honest with you. Do you remember when I was making fun of that show a few weeks ago called Below Deck about that expensive yacht?
You got into it, didn't you?
I watched the whole season. I finished it.
Oh.
I couldn't stop. I needed to know what happened.
Again and again.
So did it start as hate watching and then it just turned into enjoyment?
I had to watch the whole season.
You ever had a show that you've hate watched into pleasure?
I can't say I have. I haven't found that yet.
I got ones I could say, but they would piss off potential listeners, so I'm not going to.
Oh, fuck then.
Firefly.
I never watched it, so I can't say anything.
First two episodes, I was like, well, what's the hype about this? Then I got more into it. I was like, okay. Yeah. I never fell quite in love with it as many other people have, so I'm sorry that I'm very bravely damaging my nerd cred right now.
I always go the other way. Usually I go halfway into a show and then I'm like, oh, I don't like this anymore.
Yeah, you get over it. I'm like you. Yeah. I just get over
it. Or, they start changing producers and the writing team and everything.
Yeah.
Ray Donovan!
I struggle dropping a show. Once I'm in, I'm in.
Yeah, but I mean, Ray Donovan just took a turn for the fucking worse. That was a great show and they just... fisted that good and proper.
I like Dexter.
Totally.
Yeah.
They just screwed it.
I think they even got the same replacement showrunners when things went south.
Probably.
It's a team that they just
once
they
you see
slot
them arrive,
there.
You go, oh, well, this is the end of
this show's
show.
Getting too expensive. Call that guy.
Yeah. Let's just hope that they don't do it with the amazing Lucas franchise. Mm-hmm.
Should we press the button?
Let's do it.
Ready? 1, 2, 3.
Spoiler alert. In 3, 2, 1, you have been warned.
Spoiler warning!
I love how dedicated Tom is. He actually pretended or pushed to push a button on the microphone stand.
It was good.
And he pressed it hard.
We are now going to talk about Star Wars. So if you haven't seen it, exactly. Oh, funny.
Chewbacca dies.
He doesn't. Yet.
Oh, is this background music what we're talking about?
Now, I already know you two are going to agree with me, but the minute that Lucasfilm sign comes up and the music starts, every time I get chills.
Yeah.
Look, I'll ask that. Did you miss it at the start of Rogue One? Last year, Rogue One didn't start with the smash.
The new movies aren't doing that, and it's a different theme song for
I didn't
start.
Know that.
Yeah.
I don't even remember. Well, I didn't notice.
The trilogy, the main ones still get the...
Yes. Yeah, but the side stories.
Then the music changes.
Yeah.
Rogue One didn't have the... And I was like, oh, this is a...
There's something different. But one thing that... First up, I need to get a few things off my chest here. First one being... I ordered 3 beers in gold class and I asked for a beer to be delivered at the start, at the middle and at the end of the movie. Tom, as you would know, because we were sitting there sharing a popcorn together, you would know that one beer came in the middle of the movie and then the other 2 beers came towards the end. So I'd just like to say to the people in gold class, how are you supposed to drink 2 beers and rush them at the end of a bloody movie?
Mm. We're
talking about the actual movie.
I wanted a fan or some aircon because the rage heat coming off you was quite radiant.
Absolutely it was. And especially at that time of the morning, the churros was quite good and your pepperoni pizza smelt like a delight.
It was nice.
My pepperoni pizza was slightly on the salty side.
Oh, it's always very, very salty.
Yeah, really salty. It's
the preservatives. Apart from our surroundings aside, and it was a great dinner, it was a good experience and all the rest of it, the first thing I noticed was as our yellow writing comes up and starts to disappear into the abyss of space, mm-hmm. they use the term or the word decimated. And they use the word decimated as part of the galaxy, the rebels' fleet was decimated, which gives me the shit. And it's used so much in the news these days.
10%.
Yeah, it's been removed. Like 10% has been removed or destroyed or taken off.
Yeah.
Just didn't make sense because they're trying to say that it's been almost annihilated.
Obliterated.
Yeah, for fuck's sake, people, if you're going to write something, please use the correct words. I think for the opening credits of such a historically awesome and scene that is just so familiar is that writing coming up at the start of Star Wars. To get one of those words wrong within the first sentence, it didn't make sense. That's a major fuck up for me, and it just annoyed me the whole movie that they use the word decimated. But I have trouble letting things go sometimes.
Do you?
Admittedly.
Never noticed.
I'm going to jump in here for the sake of our listeners so we don't record a 6-hour podcast. Let's talk about some stuff we liked.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's go into some positives first.
I did have to get that off my chest.
No, that's fair enough. But that's 14 seconds into the film.
Yep.
And we're 8 minutes into the podcast.
Decimate.
So, Leah, one thing you really enjoyed.
Well, for me, it was the first time I watched Star Wars in 3D. I'd never seen it like that before. So I really enjoyed when we saw the huge starships coming over us, mm-hmm. spaceships, whatever, Emperor. You know what I'm talking about.
The Dreadnought.
Thank you.
How good was that?
It just looked really, really good and I really enjoyed it and it set it up for some excitement and the excitement almost started straight away, which I really enjoyed.
Yeah.
Other things I loved that old rebel outpost salt planet
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
where when people walked on it, it became red. That was amazing. It just was visually stunning. It looked so good.
The mineral planet.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I really enjoyed that. And I liked Luke Skywalker in a Star Wars movie again. Ash, what did you like about it?
What did I like? I liked the cinematography, the camera angles were fantastic. The effects were flawless. Mm. And those dreadnought ships, they kicked ass. They were really cool, especially in that opening scene when you see the guns firing up and you got to see how big and you felt how big these ships were. It was really, really cool.
Another little thing, just getting along the same lines, something I enjoyed about it was they touched on the fact that, because whenever I watch these movies, I think, how expensive is all of this? Like, where are they getting the money from?
Mm.
And then because we saw that casino world and there was a mention of it, I went, okay, there's that whole economy going, which I liked.
Which was good, yeah. They brought a sense of realism to it.
Yeah.
That this stuff, even though that it's in another galaxy, it needs to be financed.
Mm.
And they're not selling off, you know, the power grid in order to fund it, which is fantastic. Good for you guys. Good for you.
What about you, Tom?
I enjoyed BB-8. I thought he had some great moments. I particularly enjoyed when he commandeered the AT-ST legs.
Yes. Yeah.
Was getting around with the chicken legs.
I think he had a ball as well.
I thought that was great. I enjoyed that there was a BB-9E, which is the
evil.
Yes, first order version. And I have to say, I enjoyed almost everything to do with Luke.
Mm, Luke was good.
Him being away on a monastery in what felt like the Scottish Highlands or something like that was awesome.
Yeah,
and really appropriate for his character. The pain and the weariness in Mark Hamill's eyes just lent that character so much gravitas.
Mark Hamill was he made almost, I'd say he made the movie.
Yeah.
He brought the depth that was needed for it because a lot of it was light, fluffy. There are a few jokes that landed for me a bit flat. Need a ride? Go away, Rose. But Luke Skywalker back in a Star Wars movie, it's what we needed.
What we needed, but I also needed to know that he could actually park an X-Wing properly, but it doesn't seem that he's improved his reverse parking at all.
He's trying.
It's a good storage spot, though.
It is.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Great storyline. There were stories happening within stories.
Yes.
Which you had to get invested with this movie. It started to dig down into a hole. There was a lot going on at different points. And one thing I noticed was that the first time in Star Wars, we actually did a time jump.
Yes.
And we looked back in time and saw something.
Is that the first time?
It's never happened before.
Phenomenal, wow. I liked the whole connection growing stronger and stronger between Kylo and Rey, but as you would, I wonder if you'll go with me on this. I would have liked it when they were talking to each other for the environments to go black, like in Stranger Things.
Like in Stranger Things.
Because they said a couple of times, I can't see anything and I can only see you. I can't see where you are. I can only see you. So why were we as the audience seeing that? If it just all went black, it would have just been them and the Force.
I think it's the reverse of the Force ghosts. Like when we see Yoda and Yoda's interacting with the real world and we can see him, I think it's a reverse of that.
Right. Yeah.
But that scene where Rey's gone down, I think she's into a dark place and there's several of her all lined up in a row.
That was cool.
That was... Like there's about 50 of them.
Right.
And
what would you call that?
I think that'd be 50 Shades of Grey. There's a movie in that, I'm telling you.
There is a movie. There's a movie in that one for sure.
Disney, give me a call.
Jokes like that, you deserve a spanking.
I was going to yell it out in the middle of the theatre.
You bothered me with it.
You could have laughed, man.
Don't talk to me during a film.
New characters, any stood out for you that you are wanting to see more of or enjoyed seeing whilst they were there?
Porgs annoyed me a little bit. I think they'd be tasty though. The crystal cats?
Yeah, the crystal cats looked amazing.
The little crystal kitties. And those kangaroo-headed racing mammals.
I like them too.
On Casino Planet.
I want one of those.
I was half expecting to see James Packer there. He'd fit right in.
What about Laura Dern's character?
No.
I was really underwhelmed. I mean, for someone who's such a great actress, maybe she just wasn't given enough. Maybe she was on too strict a tighter rope or something. It just was...
I don't know. I think that lavender rinse sort of...
I feel like I could hazard a guess that she was probably involved in some reshoots after Carrie Fisher died, and perhaps they had to shore up her storyline in other ways because her stuff dragged. Compared to the rest of the movie, it didn't pay off in the same way that so much of the other stuff did two or three times. And look, it was weird to have her as... So, all right, you've got Finn who's a surrogate for Han Solo, you've got Rey who's a surrogate for Luke, you've got Poe who's kind of a surrogate for Leia, like the hot-headed authority figure who runs off and does their own thing all the time. Laura Dern, was she meant to be Mon Mothma? Was she meant to be an Admiral Ackbar? Where did she fit in? Which brings me to my next point.
A sad day on planet Squid.
It was such a throwaway moment.
They killed Ackbar off screen and just addressed it in a throwaway thing.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
Yeah, screw you guys.
He's
not
been
cool.
In so many of the films. Yep. He's the only Mon Calamari who has proper speaking role.
And he has one of the most famous... One line is out of the Star Wars universe.
A field can't be found. What is this magnitude?
No, not that one. That's a trap.
Instead, we were given, and I thought it was going to be okay because we were given what I thought was Princess Leia's death, but then she Mary Poppined her way through space.
Hard to watch, and I guess this is where the film lost me just that time. A little bit because it was partly due to the fact that the physics behind it, from what I understand, when you get in space, your lungs will explode in a vacuum. From what I understand, and your eyes are going to pop out of your bloody head.
Which we learned in Guardians 1 and 2 earlier this year where we saw characters die frozen in space.
Yep, and I've seen Total Recall. that was part of it. But the other part of it is that just the way that she flew through space, again, it was the first in the Star Wars universe that we've actually seen someone that just fly through space like that.
Also seeing Leia display powers.
Yeah, exactly. And she hasn't shown any hint of that at all, except for the mental telepathy communication that she does on occasion with Luke. But it was the way that she flew through space as well. It was almost witchcraftery type.
Could it have been done
better?
Was
she in Hocus Pocus?
Look, yeah. I also felt that that would have been quite a poignant send-off for her character.
Absolutely. I would have been happy there.
Dying in that situation with her son's involvement in the death, but not the cause of him, but he knows that, no one else does.
Yeah. Mm. And that would have left that conflict far more open, I think, as well.
It wouldn't have changed things for Kylo whether or not he'd killed his mother.
Mm.
You know, he killed his father, he turned to the dark side, all this stuff. It wouldn't have changed his character's journey too much, but it altered layers. We went in expecting a poignant send-off for her, for the character, and instead she's the one that got out alive, but we can't see her again. So it left me very confused.
Yeah, how are we going to do this? How are we going to address it in the next film? I'd also like to know, we saw Luke levitating there. Was he levitating, or was it a bad batch of butter chicken that he had the night before? Because he had some pretty good floating skills happening there.
And we saw Yoda, which was awesome.
Oh.
I really enjoyed that.
Proper 80s puppet Yoda.
Yeah, it was. Yeah,
very good he was. Very good he was.
I really enjoyed that, and I was glad that we got that.
Yeah, it was. It was funny. It was jovial. He mucked around with Luke. And
he told him stuff as well.
This brings me, I guess, to the comedy side. It's at the start, there's a few gags, there's a few jokes, which were like, yeah, that's okay, that's all right. We're finding, you know, I wasn't expecting that. That was pretty funny. But about halfway through the movie, I'm thinking, you're pushing it, guys, with the comedy just that little bit too much. And then by the end of it, I thought, you're trying. This isn't Lethal Weapon.
Do you think also just, sorry, Tom, really quickly, do you also think because it was the second film, we thought it was going to be as dark as Empire Strikes Back and it wasn't?
I think there were some expectations there.
Yeah.
It did carry some of the hallmarks of Empire Strikes Back.
A little bit.
Yes, there were a lot of bits that echoed stuff.
First time we see the AT-ATs.
Yeah.
And they've evolved, thankfully.
Yeah, you see they've got gorilla paws at the
front. Because now they can't get harpooned and tripped over. That was really cool.
Look, a lot of the criticisms that were the levelled against Force Awakens was that it was too close to A New Hope. And this one, you could tell that they were trying to distance themselves from Empire, but yet it still contained so many of the themes. It was there's the messianic person who's struggling with who their parents are.
Mm-hmm.
You've got that. There's the potential power of twins, which we do or do not know, but I feel quite strongly about.
There's going to be a twist somewhere, you reckon? Is that your prediction? There's going to be a twist about, and we're going to find out who's Ray's half of a twin.
Look, she can believe that her parents were nobody, but you made a point that it could be Immaculate Conception, which is what happened with Anakin.
It's my favourite Madonna album.
Mm. It could be that she's the other, like the secret twin of Ben Solo, which I feel quite strongly about because
I do now too.
Star Wars is all about black and white. It's duality. It's the themes of balance, and there needs, you know, they're already being presented as the balance to each other's characters. So narratively, they need to kind of echo Luke and Leia.
Now, talking about this whole light and dark, probably my favourite part in the whole film was that fighting scene with Kylo and Rey. And what would you call them?
The new Imperial Guards.
Yeah.
So were they Imperial Guards or were they the Knights of the...
Knights that say knee?
No, remember Kylo had his seven Knights of... Not Naggaroth, that's...
I'm not sure. I thought they were like a more recent version of the Emperor's Guards.
I think you're right.
The Imperial Guards? Imperial Guards. Loved those guys. They were some of my favourite characters.
They did look very funky.
It just looked great.
But the original ones back in the day, that was just a basic red outfit. And I loved how they echoed that here with Snoke in that room. They had the red backdrop and they also had these new updated guards. However, and I'm sorry to bring in a negative again here, that fight scene, Leah, you liked it?
You didn't like it?
I felt a little bit Power Ranger-ish. There was a bit of that.
Fair enough.
Over-exaggerated movements and head shake when you get punched. And I mean, if Kylo Ren is so powerful as well, why did he fuck around with the lightsaber for so long? He could have just picked all those dudes up and thrown them out a window.
There was some tricky lightsaber action going on, though, which I really enjoyed. The fact that, you know, turn the lightsaber on and off really quickly, save yourself, harm another.
Let's talk about Snoke for a minute, do you mind?
Sure.
What did you think about him coming in and actually having a physical form? Because I always thought he was like an aberration.
Yeah, it sort of felt ghost. In A Force Awakens he was mystical, ghost-like, but he was actually there. And
I felt like they thought he was a lot more threatening than he came across. As you say, once you see he's not a hologram, he's just an old withered guy in a chair, and you're sitting there going, "Oh, is this what's left of Palpatine, or is this
he was pretty powerful?
Is this actually
though.
Anakin?
Or? Is this an oversized kangaroo scrotum that's been out in the sun for too long? That's what he looked like, just a little bit. Yep. But his demise was quite quick and surprising.
And someone got blamed for it. Who didn't do it?
Who didn't do it? You're grounded, Ray.
How did you feel about Captain Phasma dying for the second time?
She'll be back.
I feel like it.
You reckon?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's Bryn of Tarth from Game of Thrones inside the suit. And in Force Awakens, she fell into the trash compactor.
Yeah.
And in this one,
she falls into a big fireball. But we didn't actually see her die. We saw her eye.
Look, she's meant to be Boba Fett. She's the new Boba Fett. She's that helmeted character that just pops up for a little bit.
I'd love to see what's under that chrome outfit.
Oh, I can tell you.
You should watch Game of Thrones. You'll see plenty of it.
Very, very tall lady. Very tall.
Oh, is she? How tall is she?
6'5"?
Yeah, really. Wow. Like super tall.
But
really,
as
really
the tall. Talking about the opposite of tall ladies, I really like that Maz Kanata came back for that very short scene, who's the woman that put, or the Yoda-ish character with the glasses, who put them in touch with...
She was a great character.
She is. Yeah, she is. I have a feeling that she'll be back in the next one as well.
I hope so. Yeah, I look forward to seeing her again.
Oh, it's like an anus, but that's right. She can't help that.
I'm not looking forward to seeing Benicio del Toro again as JD the code cracker.
He'll be back.
Do you reckon he'll be back?
Yeah. He's Lando. There'll need to be some redemptive arc. If Maz hadn't sent them to him, if they just found him, then yes, he'd be dead. But because one of the rebel allies put them in contact with this guy that sold them out, then he needs to get his comeuppance. We didn't see him suffer for his decision.
Yep.
So we need to see that or a redemptive moment.
We see flashes through here as well of some old characters, and I'm still trying to work out what the fuck are they doing with Neem Num. Yeah, he doesn't really talk. He just makes those noises.
But doesn't he do it?
I know,
well.
But they gotta give me more time.
He's got good lips. Looks like he's played the trumpet for years.
Oh, look, they're quickly writing out all the key major characters from the original trilogy, so they're going to have to keep dropping in more and more random stuff.
Familiar faces.
You wait until we get episode 12 where Salacious B. Crumb will be hanging out.
whole movie with him in it.
Comes in with a walking stick.
So, Ash, I'm not going to do an out of 10. I'm going to do, will you watch this movie again in the next year?
I want to see if they can get Luke's lightsaber back together. It's a bit of a Thor moment for me. Where Thor, if you haven't seen Thor, about to drop a bomb, Thor's hammer breaks.
We're full of spoilers in this bit anyway, so.
Yeah, so, look, I'm a hardcore Star Wars fan. It's been a staple of my eyes diet for, well, since as long as
since
I can remember.
Yeah.
And I'm committed and I'm with the franchise right up until the end. And you can see, Tom made this point before, and I think he's dead on the money when he said this, is that this is almost like the trilogy's become for the kids and the other storylines are for the more seasoned, let's just say, chronologically challenged audience.
Tom, how many more times do you reckon you'll watch it in the next year?
Well, see, it's helped me come to an interesting position, which, as we were just discussing, is about realizing that perhaps it's not aimed quite so much at us anymore. When I was little, Star Wars was my bread and butter, but I have been a bigger superhero fan all my life, and we are in the absolute golden era of superhero movies in the same way that Star Wars was the golden era of sci-fi.
Yeah.
So that's more where my heart and my excitement lies now. Like, I will happily say that I was way more excited by the Infinity War trailer than the actual Star Wars movie.
Mm.
That said, I will probably see this again. I don't know if I'll go to the cinema. There'll be bits and pieces to discover in the background.
That's what I think. I think I'll probably watch it at least another time before we get the next standalone movie, which is the Han Solo movie.
Yeah, which I think is on track for May.
Okay. So that's really soon. All right.
It's coming out about a month after Infinity War.
Just because, like you said, there's a couple of little things I'd like to watch in case I've missed things. Want to go back and watch the Rey weird Fifty Shades of Grey again, see if I can pick up anything that perhaps I missed.
The Han Solo trailer, I'm pretty sure I saw one of those leaked on, I think it was RedTube. No, sorry, that was Hand Solo. Sorry, don't mind me.
Get those two mixed up. Ash, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Tom.